The Racing Pulse Thursday Trial Show with Racing.com's Matt Welsh.
Who joins me in the studio? G'day, Matty. How are you?
Good to be with you, Matt.
That's good. It was interesting having a chat to Lee Jordan before about what's coming up at Flemington, and you and I were talking off air about how they've had a few okay meetings lately, but there's a real buzz around about the big winter meetings at Flemington. I think we pretty much get that ball bounced from Saturday and then the week after and then for the next few weeks. So I think punters out there who like betting on relatively firm tracks through winter months with high-level racing, I think we're in for a nice little time of it in the next few weeks at Flemington.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with Flemington, it's very hard for it to get anything other than a good track, really, these days. You don't see it often in the soft or heavy range unless you get a downpour on race day. And big fields are generally the order at this time of year as we head towards the Winter Championships. And there's always a really good horse unearthed who can carry its form through to the Spring Carnival or be freshened up and have an impact over the Spring Carnival. So certainly worth keeping an eye on those who emerge from the pack and potentially put their hand up to figure in the better races.
Absolutely. It's funny, if you were doing what you're doing now 20 years ago, it would have been a lot different, wouldn't it? There would have been a lot of heavy tracks through winter. There wouldn't have been the synthetic crossover, and there wouldn't have been these continually. They're like the footy grounds now, aren't they? They never get wet, and Caulfield and Flemington seem to play pretty dry. So it's probably a different discipline than it would have been 20 years ago, isn't it?
I think Caulfield last weekend was probably a genuine soft track. It definitely wasn't, you know, you don't get them into the heavy range often, but yeah, very different to what we had 20 years ago where heavy tracks through winter would be the norm. I think there's probably a bit less rainfall, I'd say the Bureau of Meteorology would tell you as well, which is contributing to it. But there's no doubt the better drainage and the equipment we have to prepare these tracks is far superior. And look, from a punting perspective, I personally always prefer betting on a firm track. It's more reliable, but you can understand there's a lot of people out there who want to race horses on heavy tracks, and hopefully over the winter they get that opportunity. But with the synthetic tracks, it's fantastic. We saw Ballarat on Sunday able to transfer its meeting.
Did you think it went? It was an unexpectedly early debut for that track. As a punter, how did you feel it went?
I looked at the jump outs they held last Thursday, and I think the track was a bit drier. There was a bit more kickback. What we saw on Sunday was it had obviously firmed down, bedded down a little bit. There was the rain to help compact it. I thought it raced extremely well, especially given they weren't expected to have their first meeting until tomorrow, which is the official opening of the track. But in the old days, you would have probably lost that meeting. They had 110 mil of rain leading up to race day on the turf track. They simply wouldn't have been able to race. So while I can understand the frustration from those who have a wet tracker and they struggle to actually get a wet track, at least we are able to run more meetings, transfer meetings. I think the synthetic track racing has been great for Victorian racing.
Yeah, the pluses have outweighed the minuses for sure. Hey, I ask this with special interest because the horse you like today also like. Have you had your eye in lately? How are you going? Are you in form?
I was going okay until last week. I think Felgate pumped me up too much last week and we fell off a cliff, but hopefully bounce back at Hamilton and Pakenham today.
All right. Well, we'll get to that shortly, but let's start with the trials. And we had a decent group of trials at Tatura on Monday on a slightly rain-affected track.
Yeah, soft track at Tatura, but really good set of trials. Tony McAvoy took a number of horses up to Tatura, and we always see Lindsay Park have a good team. So there's generally not a huge amount of depth to those trials, but with the two good stables there was some nice horses go around. And Tony McAvoy had the first horse that I'm really keen to follow, and it comes out of Heat 2, which was 1,450-metre trial, and the horse I speak of is More Than Ever. It's very rare you see a horse go to the line under such little pressure in a distance trial. 1,450 metres is a pretty long trial, and he just coasted along out in front. His rivals were off the bit a long way from home. Importantly, the time was about 11 lengths quicker than the other heat over the same trip. So, you know, to see him go to the line so easily and run that time was really impressive. He won two races over 1,600 and 1,800 metres last preparation. Given he's trialled here over 1,450, I would suggest he'll go straight to a mile first up.
That's what I was going to say. It reads a bit that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, so he'll be very hard to beat wherever he goes first up. I'm very keen to follow More Than Ever out of Heat 2.
And Heat 3, you're very keen on one called It's a Sahara, and it was a be a little feel-good story, this, wouldn't it? Because it was an absolute cheapie.
Yes, she was. A 2-year-old chestnut filly bought at last year's 2018 Inglis Vobis Gold Sale, and we had the Caulfield Vobis meeting a couple of weeks ago, and you see the riches that they can race for. And 2-year-old filly called It's a Sahara, trained by Helen Burns at Swan Hill. Maybe she'll be eyeing off a race over the carnival in the second weekend in June. But she settled second last in this heat. She circled the field and just loved the way she put them away over the final 100 metres. She wasn't asked for the supreme effort, went to the line with plenty in hand. So very nice 2-year-old filly, It's a Sahara, out of heat 3.
Looks like the overall depth in heat 4 was a tad stronger and the time was a tad quicker.
Yeah, there was. Tasman's Reward, trained by John and Chris Ledger, won a good race on debut, then came to town at Flemington. She ultimately finished second in heat 4, but she showed good speed. She led the trial and Jake Duffy just eased her up over the last 100 metres. So in spite of finishing second, that was a very good trial from Tasman's Reward. An impressive one for Tony McAvoy, Night Passage. She settled on the leader's back. She was given a little push along around the home bend by Luke Curry, but her final 100 metres, she really let down strongly. So two nice fillies there, Tasman's Reward and Night Passage, out of heat 4.
And in heat 6, it looks like Jamie Carr wasn't out to prove much on Jar Bath, but it caught your eye just the same.
Yeah, 2-year-old gelding here for Lindsay Park. He debuted the Randwick Kensington track on the 5th of January. And he didn't beat a runner home, but he was well in the market there. He was $6. He jumped well in heat 6. He was given a very soft time, as you say, by Jamie Carr. Beaten 1.35 lengths, but he certainly could have won that heat. So one we can follow there out of heat 6, Jabath.
All right, and in heat 8, a natural speedster showed what she could do.
I thought I'd mention this trial. Left JB out, likely to head to Swan Hill, I would have thought. Led this trial, ran good time, did everything you'd expect. So certainly not one to throw in the black book, but I think Left JB Out is in good order heading into this campaign.
All right. Now, you were impressed with Heat 1, but more impressed with Heat 9.
Yeah, Rose Angel, I think she was the star of the set. She ran the best time of the morning in 50.78, and really important just to take note of those times in trials because they can vary so greatly between heats. Trained by David Bourne, this filly trialled very well last campaign, and then she ran into a smart one in Heavenly Bridges at Yarra Valley in February. They ran very good time there, so that's strong maiden form. She led this heat by a space under her own steam, and Jason Baldock was sitting extremely quietly over the concluding stages. So for her to run the quickest time of the morning and not be asked for any effort whatsoever, impressive trial. She'll go hopefully to a 1,000-metre maiden first up, and it'd be very hard for her to find a maiden that she wouldn't be able to win. Very keen to follow Rose Angel out of Tatura.
Do you have one of those alerts on your phone where, because you're looking at trials and you're never quite sure when they're going to bob up, that sort of alerts you to when horses you've highlighted are going around? Have you got an alert system or anything? Or?
Yeah, black book them at racing.com, absolutely.
Yeah, and that gives you a ping?
Yeah, you get a notification when they accept to race.
All right, beautiful. Heat 13...
Heat 13, Kronos won this heat for Stephen Brown. The horse I'm keen to follow is She's Nicking Off for the Kim Hahn stable. She settled just off speed, liked the way she circled the field and went to the line under very little pressure. So those around her were all ridden out. She had plenty to offer. She's Nicking Off out of heat 13.
What about the last heat?
Heat 14, there was one from the Jason Warren stable called Princess Flagrant. She didn't run flash time here, but just loved the way she moved in her action. Very nice type. She's already had a couple of trainers going from Max Hinton to Mitch Beer and now with Jason Warren. But eligible for maiden grade, I think she is one we can follow, Princess Flagrant.
All right, so plenty to take down there. If you weren't able to take down all that information, this will, of course, be on our podcast later on if you want to sit down and really digest Matty's thoughts from those what seemed to be very important Tatura trials last Monday. Now, I really hope your eye's in today, and I hope Matty Kamani's isn't, because he's got 4 in today and the one he doesn't like. Sunfish, I think it's called, is the one I have launched on overnight on the fixed odds. Just give us your take. Before I ask you about the other one that I want you to be enthusiastic about, I think it would have been a bit of a trial star too, Sunfish, before it went to Geelong and decided to not be a proper racehorse.
Surfliner.
Why am I thinking of Sunfish?
Race 5. He trialled very well leading into that Geelong race. They ran good time in that race. So I think it was a pretty strong maiden. He was heavily backed. I think they put up about $61.
That was my mate. That was my mate Wine Shop Dave doing that.
Went up for a very short period of time. So a few punters who got on there ended up starting $4.80. I haven't had a close look at the race, Matty, I must admit, but he certainly trialled very well leading up to that first up run. I think it was at Ararat coming down the outside rail from memory.
Yep.
And
yep.
as I said, it was a reasonably strong maiden at Geelong. So good luck to you.
He's gone the shadow role today. Do you have different measures of different gear changes for confidence? What do you make of the shadow role?
Look, I think whenever a trainer is making a gear change, particularly take note when it's after an unexpectedly poor run. You know, if a horse was $2, it was beaten 10 lengths and they suddenly throw a tongue tie on, I say, well, look, they may have got on top of an issue which could help improve it next start. Certainly worth taking note of. I saw you wrote something about it following on from the weekend on in regards to Osborne Bulls and Nature Strip. I think it would be silly to dismiss, but I'd take more attention when they're making a gear change on the back of what is an unexpectedly poor run.
And tongue ties seem to solve a riddle, don't they, in a way, for an unexpected flop. Now, let's move on to the one that I've also backed today that I know you're keen on, and this is race 7 today at Hamilton. Gregorian Chan, I thought, was terrific at Ballarat first up when he got into the slower part of the track and seemed to be underdone, and then excellent at Geelong, seems to be building. Is today the day?
I think it is. And since that Geelong run you referenced, she's been to those Ballarat synthetic jump outs last Thursday and she went fantastically. She settled off speed and put two or three lengths on them over the concluding stages under very light riding. Mitchell Friedman, the trainer, he's flying. He had a treble, I think it was, at the synthetic track on Sunday. So he's got the stable going very well. And this isn't a strong benchmark 58. And I think this filly's got plenty of upside. So at $2.70, $2.80, she gets a nice run in transit. I think race 7, number 5, Gregorian Chant, looks very, very hard to beat at Hamilton today.
All right, and over to race 9. Speaking of gear changes and trials, this fits in nicely. From the Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace stable, Mr. Genoa. A trial winner on Mazer 6th and a Norton Bit first timer today.
And look, this horse is an interesting one. He debuted at Northam in August last year. He ran a very big rating there. That was a strong time he produced over the 1,100 metres and it was on a soft track. He then came over to Victoria, had a little freshen up. He was heavily backed at Bendigo, beaten as a $2.30 favourite, and then ran last at Bendigo, again went in the market over 1,400 metres a couple of weeks later. He gets back onto a soft track here. He loved the heavy track in his Cranbourne trial on the 6th of May. So maybe I really think he'll appreciate the soft going today. Not worried about barrier 18, this being race 9 on a heavy track with jumps on the carters as well. I'd be surprised if they're not able to win from off the fence. Jumped out well, trialled well. I think today's his day, race 9, number 1, Mr. Genoa.
You're getting a bit cheeky at Pakenham. You've thrown in a Quinella for us in race 4, are you?
More just a Dutch bet. A kickoff in race 1, firstly with a Lloyd Kennywell-trained speedster in German Otter. A very nice filly. She trialled strongly at Flemington. She's about $1.85. Hopefully we'll get something around even money, but I think she's short. I think she's probably the anchor tonight. Race 1, number 7, should go straight to the front. Very good trial at Caulfield recently. And then, as you referenced, race 4, 1,000-metre race, good benchmark 70 race this. I think Aloof's probably a touch short, the early market favourite. Love the way Weekend Escape has jumped out at Caulfield, again for Lloyd Kennywell. This has had a stable change and very speedy galloper and importantly has had two goes on the Pakenham Synthetic for two wins. So off gate 1 has the speed to kick up and lead. I think she's the horse to beat and she's about $4.50. So backing her. I'll also be having Ancient Echoes on side, now trained by George Osborne. Probably wants further than 1,000 metres, but Weekend Escape will make this a strongly run test, and I think he'll be the one closing off hard late. He trialled very well at Kyneton recently. Resumes with the tongue tie off, which I always see as a positive sign, and blinkers off. So he's going to settle off speed, but I think he's the one who'll be closing. So I like that race there at Pakenham. Happy to back race 4, number 9, Weekend Escape, and have something on Ancient Echoes.
Yeah, well, you get good value on the fixed odds at the moment on the tab. Weekend Escape is $4.80 and Ancient Echoes $7.50. So you can certainly do something there. I'm looking at the fixed odds on the first German Otter, $1.85. So I've already thought about it. Gregorian Chan, parlay all up German Otter, and then we have a think about the two and the fourth.
Absolutely, Matty. Hopefully you're on the right side of the ledger.
I'm hoping so too. I desperately need it. Good on you, Matty. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Matt.
Matty Welsh with his trial show for this morning. Plenty of winners there, and you can podcast them later on if you didn't get time to jot them all down. It's 15 to 10. When we come back, the Bon and the Guerin with Harness Racing.